And so let go of the shore. Go flow into the mystery. There's a wonderful poster piece of art that Bill Davis gave Lane a number of years ago that he's had in his office forever. And it's got a picture of a sailing vessel. And it said, a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were made for. The same is true for us. There are times in our lives where we need to seek safe harbor to prepare for the next phase of the journey, to tend to the sails and clean the boat and stock the stores we need. So that place of sanctuary, the place of safe harbor, is an important part of the journey. But if all you do is prepare and stay in the harbor, what's the point? You have to have the courage to then move forward as best you can. And so Saint Brendan is known as the navigator, the one who took voyages, navigated the seas, and from him we learn how to do that as well. He lived from 484 to 577 approximately. So he was way back there, very important in the Celtic tradition. And he believed that God is writ upon our hearts and that all you need to do is trust that and let the journey carry you into the mystery. Because the one thing I know about traveling and about life is you never know what's around the next corner. You never know when that clear sky is suddenly going to start changing color. I loved it when I grew up in Texas and we lived on the coast the last 2 years of high school. My dad had a sailboat and we lived in Houston near his job. And he said, I want to live near my boat. So we moved to Nassau Bay, right near NASA. I grew up with the astronauts and the astronauts' kids. And we had a house that looked right out onto the water with a balcony. And his boat was right across the street. He was in heaven. And he had to commute for an hour into Houston traffic to go to work. And he said, driving in, he was like preparing for work. He said, but every day driving home, it was like, And so it's that reminder that we have our safe place, but we have to journey out, and then we can return. It never says you can't go back to the harbor. In fact, that's usually what most boats do. You can't stay out at sea forever. So remember when you're journeying through life to gift yourself with not only the adventure and the journey, but also time of rest and respite and harbor. I ended up pulling out Walter Pinckney's book, Illuminating the Way. I took it home with me last night. I'd pulled up notes for a talk that I'd given a few years ago and thought, oh, that'll fit for St. Brendan. You know how spirit works with me. It's like, nah. I woke up early this morning and I pulled that book out and I started reading a little bit more about St. Brendan. And the book that's the story of his voyage is called Navigatio. It was in Latin. And it's a text that talks all about the voyages that St. Brendan made. And it says that it's an allegory of spiritual transformation. It's our soul journey. It's how a soul seeks and gets called forth and then responds to what happens in the journey and then sees the world with new eyes because of the journey. And she says, she has a wonderful quote in here that comes from Cynthia Bourgeau, which many of you have read. We've studied several of her books here. That's who I just heard in Canada. And she says this, as the manuscript makes clear, the land promised to the saints is reached not only in physical space, but simultaneously in inner space through the journey of spirituality that prepares the way for the eventual opening of the eye of the heart. Isn't that beautiful? Because truly life, whether you're on a formal pilgrimage or just going through life, there is that outer space of the journey, but there is your response, reaction, and interpretation of it that's the inner journey, that's really more important than the outer journey. It's not as much what happens as how you integrate it, how you learn from it, how you see the blessings in it. Christine Vultner Paintner says this, "The heart of the journey asks us what needs to be changed for the land promised to the saints to be recognized. What is it we need so that we can see the land of the saints? What is the way required through both illuminated and shadowy interior landscapes? Are we able to stay present through moments of solace, ease, and joy, as well as the anxiety, fear, and sometimes terror that comes when we let go of all that is familiar to follow our heart's calling? Can we see the difficult journey as a path of initiation?" Isn't that wonderful? A path of initiation, that being called forth. And sometimes it's just little things. It's, oh, I'm going to sign up for that class, even though I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to study art. I'm going to do music. I'm going to step out and spend time in nature. I'm going to start doing little hikes, even if I'm not ready for big hikes. It's being willing to step out into the adventure of life, knowing that as you do so, it's not just about what you're doing, it's how you're experiencing it, how it's changing you and your soul, opening you to see new blessings in new ways. I decided I wanted to share two of the poems that Kenneth White, who's our inspiration in this chapter. And this first one is about St. Brendan getting ready to take the journey. And I just, as I read it last week and said I wanted to use it, and then this morning, the book fell open to this page, and I went, ah, yes, we need to use this. It's one that's about the physical feeling, so if you want to close your eyes, you can keep your eyes open, but feel the call of the journey. It was a stony kingdom on the west coast of Ireland, with the wind wailing and the roars of the Atlantic breaker, with strange men wandering and murmuring, "Ist emo dui Christ Magdi," my druid is Christ, the Son of God. One had always wished to wander farther, Brendan by name, and a name it was that had the sea in it, the breaking of waves, and the memory of a poem. Brendan built himself a boat, making first a framework of pliant wood, covering it with bull hides tanned in oak, smearing the hides with grease and resin, a boat as light as a bird to ride the sea. When the boat was ready, firm and true, he gathered men about him, saying, "This will be no pleasure cruise, rather the wildest of wild goose chases around the rim of the world and further than a peregrination in the name of God." They pulled away from Ireland, heading north, oars dipping into the blue water amid a caterwauling of gulls. The going was good and the rhythm sure, but so far north he'd never come. The world here was at an end, and there was only sea and wind. Oh, it was beautiful. The northern blue and the clear white curling of the surf. Every mile was a broad blue page of vellum, and Brendan was working out the words, trying for a freshness never found before. Brendan the Voyager would be Brendan the Poet, if only he could write a poem. Brighter and stronger than all the other poems, a poem filled with rough sea and light. Oh, the words for it, the words for a dawning. Further and further they pulled into the white unknown. Oh, that gives me goosebumps. Isn't that wonderful, that image? We take that kind of a journey all the time simply by being in the world. There are times it's more of a quiet journey. There are times it's a wild adventure at sea. I've always loved watching a storm come across water, open water, and how you realize right where the rain is starting to hit the water, and then it comes. I grew up with a dad who had been a pilot in World War II, got into sailplaning and soaring, loved doing that with him. Used to make my mother airsick, so she wouldn't go, so I got to go all the time. And I loved that sense of we'd be pulled up by another plane, and then when you get to a certain place, you pull a thing and it breaks you loose from the power plane that took you up into the sky. And it's just you in the plane and the sound of the wind. It's amazing. I experienced the same thing with him when we would go sailing. We started with a little Flying Dutchman Junior sailboat. And then when he bought his next size up, that was 14 feet, was where we moved to the water. And then when we eventually moved to Dallas, he bought a 25-footer. And no matter what the size of the boat, the thing that was magic was setting the sails and then feel them catch the wind and the boat moves forward. It is such a wonderful feeling. And for us, our bodies, our lives are our sailing vessels. The hull of the boat is your physical body that holds everything and carries your soul, your mind, your heart, everything within it. It's the vessel, it's the container, is your body. The tiller back at the back that you move, or the wheel if you've got a bigger ship. I got to sail once going to the Bahamas with a wheel. That felt really wonderful. Particularly at night, I drew the 2 to 4 a.m. shift to be the captain. And I was like, oh, it's going to be the middle of the night. It's going to be scary. It wasn't scary. It was, but it was wonderful. And it was more wonderful that it was scary to see the water. And I'd never seen so many stars in my life as you see out on open water. And I'm like, oh, now I remember that old poem. I'm the captain of my ship. And to see that was such an amazing moment. And the tiller or the wheel is what guides you. And that's your mind. Your thoughts, your perceptions guide you as you sail through life. The sails that you put up that catch the wind are your heart. It's your passion. It's your caring. It's your feeling that empowers things forward. And at the bottom, the keel, whether it's a retractable one or a permanent one, I know enough about boats to know I've sailed both, that is your soul that stabilizes, always connecting deep in the water and unseen from the surface of the boat, but absolutely essential at keeping the boat balanced, even in the midst of storms. And normally we get to sail forward. David shared one time a story that I loved where they were sailing, and they were trying to sail around the point at Fort Worden, and their sails were full, but the current coming the other direction was so strong that even though they were heeled over, they were going backwards. I've experienced that in my life, and those currents are part of it as well. And it's just allowing and just noticing, you know what? I'm going backwards right now, but I'm still sailing. And as soon as the currents shift and head the other direction, you move forward with even greater speed than you had before because you're moving with the currents. When you fly in a plane, going between here and Dallas, one way is at least 15 to 30 minutes shorter than the other because of the wind currents. Those currents exist. If you find you're going backwards, you're not doing anything wrong. It's just that there is movement in that direction that will then change. And it's all right. There's a wonderful quote that I did pull from my other talk. Comes from Louisa May Alcott. I am not afraid of storms, for I am learning to sail my ship. I'm not afraid of storms, for I am learning to sail my ship. And Cynthia Bourgeau said that St. Brandon was connected to spirit. He prayed, he chanted and sang. That was very much a part of the traditions, to see the divine in the sea, in the wind, in the water, in the currents, to see the divine everywhere. And because of that, he was able to trust the flow and go into the unknown, which, as much as we try and plan, every day kind of is, isn't it? There is a wonderful quote by the famous Anonymous. Whoever Anonymous is, they've done lots of quotes. And it is this: the winds of grace are blowing all the time. We only have to set our sails. If you remember nothing else from this talk, remember that line. The winds of grace are blowing all the time. We only have to set our sails to catch that grace. It's ever there. And I'd like to close with one more piece by Kenneth White. It's shorter than the other, but it's about St. Brandon, and it's about us. It's about voyaging and navigating. So Kenneth White. Brandon was maybe a believer, but that's neither here nor there. First and foremost, he was a navigator, a figure moving mile by mile along the headlands, among the islands, tracing a way between foam and cloud with an eye to outlines and a world opening. Let us pray. Sweet, sweet Spirit, may we allow the adventure of life to welcome us in wonderful, amazing, and powerful new ways. Let us trust that within us, writ upon our hearts, is the presence of the divine and visible to our eye. To perceive and to incorporate is that divine presence in everything. Let us remember to move forward, not being afraid of the storms, and remembering that the winds of grace are blowing all the time. Let us remember to set our sails to a world opening. And so it is. Om, amen, and blessed be.